of Jesus going into Jerusalem and this fantastic procession. Imagine with me that you'd been in the crowd. Jesus had become a bit of a superstar. Loads of us had followed him round. Maybe you were in that crowd as well today. You know, you can never be sure what's going to happen next. When you're with Jesus, unexpected stuff happens. The thing is, it's so kind of contradictory. There are so many different things happening. So one minute there's Jesus helping a beggar. And the next moment he's saying the most outrageous things about the authorities. But he's not just a kind of Robin Hood figure. Not just somebody who loves the poor and hates the rich. It's complicated. And you know that our country is under occupation, invaded like Ukraine. Rome had got too big for its boots and decided to, the thing to do was to come and invade this, our country. And here we are as an innocent victim of this process. They decided they wanted to expand. So we get invaded, we get defeated, we get crushed as a nation. And bitterest pill of all, we get to pay more taxes to keep them in a lavish lifestyle. Some of my friends talk in secret about killing the Romans. And then there's a story that Jesus healed a centurion's son. It's just, how did he do that? He's helping the poorest in our community. And then he's helping people who anybody else would see as an enemy. I'm still trying to work it out. And what happened today with this remarkable moment of this procession into Jerusalem? I didn't see everything. I don't think he could have done. But I saw enough. What a parade. What a celebration. And it was right here in Jerusalem when the city was packed with people who'd come for the religious festival. I just don't see how Jesus will get away with it. I'm sure somebody in charge will have him for it. But Jesus was in charge of everything. He kind of ran this pageant, this procession, this impromptu festival, so that everything came together just as he wanted it. There was so much happening, but like every good preacher, I noticed three things. Three teams at work to make this procession happen. And I want you to just consider today whether you know anybody who you think was in that team, would have been in that team, could have been in that team. Maybe you yourself would like to audition for that team. Maybe you're already in that team. Which one would you sign up for? The first team I spotted creating this fantastic Palm Sunday procession was the delivery team. There were two disciples who really demonstrated that. They were clearly in this team. Maybe there were more people in the team. But I saw these two. These are the people who took instructions from Jesus. They did what they were told. They got the job done. Their job started before Jesus got to the city. Jesus told two of his disciples to run ahead and find a donkey. Now, the geography of Jerusalem, some of you may have been, it's hilly. So actually, popping ahead requires some seriously fit people. They had to move faster than the others. I reckon they were the eager personalities as well. People who were keen to rush ahead and get things done. They were the ones who were always doing something rather than just standing around and talking. Know anybody like that? The doers, the delivery team. They listened to Jesus. They followed orders. They got the job done. But I want to say that it wasn't straightforward for them. You see, Jesus said to them, if anybody challenges you, this is what to say. Jesus did not say when somebody challenges you. He said if. So the whole of that journey they had to make, they were kind of looking out for who's it going to be? Is it going to be somebody, you know, tucked behind the lace curtain, sticking their head out and saying, what are you doing? Or is it going to be a couple of children playing in the street, running a kind of transport protection racket going on? You know, you're all right, mate. I'll look after your beast. Denarii or two. Mite. Yeah, you can give me a couple of mites. That'll do. I'll keep it safe for you. What's going on? What about the delivery team then? You see, I quite like this getting up there and doing things and being active. So when they shot off to do what Jesus said, I kind of went with them and followed. And there was this key moment. They found the donkey. And you could tell, listening to what they were saying and that kind of little bit of chat and looking at each other, is this the right one? Now, I'm no donkey expert. Anybody? But I could tell it was a youngster. I think it had never been in town before. I think this was the moment this donkey had been brought into town to start work as a beast of burden. Probably never ridden. What are donkeys famous for? Their kick, right? So these disciples were pretty nervous about untying that knot. What's going to happen? Are they going to get kicked? Is the donkey going to bolt? They're going to have some explaining to do if it all goes wrong. And there they are. You can imagine them, can't you? One of them reaching for the knot, kind of keeping back out the way, undoing the round turn and 2.5 inches. Looking at the knot, looking at the donkey, trying to judge whether they're in the right place. Looking at each other. Are we right here? And then somebody is going to interfere, aren't they? And it's not just a nosy neighbour or a street urchin. As they, just in that moment, the worst possible moment, when they're already half panicking, it's the owners who show up. What are you doing? What are you doing with my transport? And they have their answer. And there they are, panic in their eyes, looking backwards and forwards from the knot to the donkey, to the other disciple, to the owners. What's happening here? And yet they remembered what Jesus said to them. They gave the answer he instructed them to give. And the donkey was okay. And off they went. Back down the shorter journey now. Back to meet Jesus and the crowd. And then, when they met up again, they took their own cloaks off to make a saddle, in effect, for the master, the teacher, to ride into the city. And at the very least, you know, that was a costly gift, wasn't it, to take their cloaks off and lay them on the donkey. The donkey still could have bolted. Goodbye cloak. Or the donkey could have bucked. And the cloak's on the floor, isn't it? And the very least is another laundry wash. I'm impressed by the delivery team. They didn't fully understand what Palm Sunday signified. They didn't really get what was going on here in terms of this emerging moment in the history of Jesus. They didn't anticipate the gathering storm of Holy Week. They didn't really know what was going to happen on Good Friday, on Easter Sunday. Yet, they were willing to do what they were asked to do. And yet, they were willing to act on instructions, to cope with uncertainty, to pay a price in their own resources. They were ready to be on the delivery team. Are you? And that procession began to build. People joined the crowd. You'd almost have thought that the invading army had been driven out and the people had got their country back. I don't know what Jesus is up to, but people went mad for him today, and the top brass must have been scared or furious or both. Funny thing was, as I was walking into Jerusalem amongst that massive crowd, I couldn't stop watching that donkey. You know how your mind sometimes fixes on something? Before today, that animal had never been sat on by a human being, I reckon. Never been ridden. The usual step-by-step process of gradually breaking the animal in had simply not been done. Yet this donkey did something it had never done before today. It allowed people to throw their cloaks on its back without bucking. It allowed Jesus to climb on its back and ride into Jerusalem. That unfamiliar load. That donkey is a kind of mascot of the innovation team. Do you know anybody who's up for doing things they've never done before? Who's up for following Jesus, taking instruction, and doing something that they've never done or they've not done for years? They're on the innovation team. I love Ned, that donkey. Are you on the innovation team for Jesus? And it just made me reflect, as I've got older, got my bus pass this week. We become creatures of habit. We start saying there are things that we do and things that we don't do. I don't know if you remember, there was an old TV show years ago called Rumpole of the Bailey. And you might have remembered the TV shows or read the books. And Rumpole, at one point in one of these books, is written as saying, "I never read a book I've not read before. I know what I like." But people on the innovation team are not stuck in their ways. People on the innovation team for Jesus are really up for new ideas, new possibilities. They're have-a-go people. They take on tasks they've never tackled before. I'm a member of St. Nick's, and we're just giving away 30 people to help with two other churches. And they're being commissioned this morning. And that includes almost all our Sunday night musicians. So people are going to have to be pressed into helping with the music that haven't done it for years or have never done it before. We're going to have to find people that, I guess, you have similar kind of challenges sometimes. There's something about the people being eager. Let's have Eric Morecambe musicians, shall we? They play all the right notes, but not necessarily in the right order. People on the innovation team are eager. And here's the mascot for the innovation team, right in the center of that procession. As the palm branches are being ripped off the trees and being thrown into where? Into the eye line of the donkey. this donkey that's not wearing blinkers, this donkey that's never experienced that kind of training before, that would you'd expect to jump and rear and buck in the face of these unexpected kind of visual challenges. Here is this donkey placidly carrying the unfamiliar weight, putting one foot in front of the other, quietly moving forward. He doesn't know this road will lead on to Gethsemane, to Golgotha, to the tomb, to resurrection. He's simply taking on new jobs. He ignores the noise and kerfuffle, takes on new tasks. Do you know anybody on the innovation team? Are you joining? Thirdly, in this Palm Sunday procession, there's a media team. The people began to shout about the glories of God. They began to shout about what they'd seen Jesus doing. Can you imagine in the crowd, conversations beginning to happen? You know this Jesus, do you know what he did? He healed my son. He helped me. He spoke some incredible words that got into my head. And I still don't get them, but I can't lose them. They've disturbed and unsettled and challenged me. They've done me good. This is the stuff that I need to just talk to other people about and try and get my head around. He raised the dead person. What? The glories of God. And people begin to hear the story and begin to respond to it. Hosanna in the highest. They begin to shout about how amazing God is. And almost before one story is finished, somebody else is jumping in and telling their story. And the first person's thinking, well, how can I? Will somebody listen to the punchline? On goes the account of the greatness of God. And as it happens, chants begin to arise in the crowd. And other people pick them up because there's, you know, you want to join in, don't you, in a crowd when other people are singing and praising and celebrating. Soon, everybody wants an audience for the story. Those disciples were on the media team, remembering the stories, prompting others to tell them, asking one another about what they'd seen and heard. Thrilled to remember the glory days of popularity, of teaching and miracles. The stories came thick and fast. They were fearless members of the media team. They were unafraid of criticism. They were determined to share their message, even when the Pharisees objected. They didn't know that in a few days they'd be running away. They'd be hiding in silence. They'd be denying that they had even a single story about Jesus. But for now, the job is to join the media team, digging the stories out of the past, spotting the stories in the present, ready to capture the stories that emerge in the future. The media team seem to be unworried that there might be somebody in the audience for their story who's going to go off and tell the authorities and get them into trouble. Staff in this communications department simply wanted column inches. They wanted likes on Facebook. They wanted to get their message out there. The media team was simply saying to anybody who would listen what Jesus had done. You know anybody on the media team for Jesus? Are you a member? Palm Sunday was a triumphant moment before the bad times came, before Jesus was betrayed, abandoned, denied, condemned, mocked, and crucified. It was a triumphant moment in preparation for resurrection, ascension, and the glories of heaven. Some of the people who made it happen were the delivery team. Some were on the innovation team. Some were on the media team. Maybe there were some people on all three. But each played their part in the events that made Palm Sunday. Are you on team for Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son. That you sent him to be born as a baby, to live, to teach, to heal, to challenge. You sent him to lead the procession into Jerusalem. You sent him to die for our sins. You sent him to rise from the dead and bring hope that reaches beyond the grave. Lord, we pray that you would help us to respond with our whole lives to be on team for Jesus. Amen.